So yes, I'll reiterate to those of you who've gotten into violent confrontations with your spouses or friends that what I said last week is based upon the Midrash. And sometimes it's very challenging to find the source of the Midrash in the Psukim themselves. But the Midrash, what we saw last week, does point out and say that Avram hesitates by the Brit Milah. In the Chumash, you don't see that.
As a matter of fact, it's interesting when you say the Chumash, you don't see it. So of course, I try to worry it and find it. So actually, there is a pause before Abraham goes and does the Milah, because Hashem keeps promising him more and more and more. So I wonder if that's where the Midrash gets it from.
Okay.
Yes, but he says he will the same day.
Okay, so that's what we'll get to today then. Let's begin. You know, it's in a sense, I can't control myself about coming back to the Akedah. So I don't know how many times in a row I talk about Akedah, but I will say something different today that I assure you. Let's just begin. And after these things transpired, Elohim, God, the Almighty, tested Avraham. Of course, we recognize that if we wanted a chance to understand this, we need to know after which things, but I'm not going to talk about that. That's your homework, if you like. And this whole idea of God testing Avraham is also quite strange. We of course, know, and I say we know, we have it deeply embedded within us that Avraham has 10 tests. This, as far as I know, is the only time it actually says that God tests Avraham. For what purpose? Why? God doesn't know what the result is going to be. Of course, God knows what the result is going to be. What's the purpose of the test? All of this is difficult.
This is the only place, I think, that what God tells Abraham to do, he then is not going to be required to do.
Let's see.
There are other places.
No, let's see. Let's see if you're right in what you're saying. Let's continue.
Is it always Elohim? No, it doesn't say Elohim.
So the name Elohim is very interesting over here as well. The name Elohim over here is very, very difficult. And I don't know if you begin to appreciate why it's so difficult, but we will figure this out as we continue. Vayomer lo Avraham, vayomer hineni. God speaks to Avraham. It sounds like he speaks to him clearly, calls upon him. He says, here I am. Vayomer, he says, kach nad bincha, take your son, and yititcha, your only son, asher ahavta, who you love, et Yitzchak, v'lech lecha el Eretz HaMoriah, and you shall go to Eretz HaMoriah, v'lei usham la'ula, and you're going to, how would you translate that, v'lei usham la'ula? V'halei usham la'ula. So let's not translate that then. Don't look at the English. Just stop looking at the English. Right, but what does the word Ola mean? What is Aliyah? A completely burnt sacrifice, right? Going up. And what is an Aliyah? An Aliyah means to go up. What is an Ola? Something that goes up. So therefore, a Korban Ola is a Korban which goes completely up and there's nothing which is consumed by it, nothing which is for human purpose. Again, I'll be very clear. A korban ola is a korban which goes completely up. Over here it says v'haleil sham la'ola. And of course I would very much like to know what that means. You all know what it means, so you're a step ahead of me. V'haleil sham la'ola. Can you translate that literally? Okay, neither can I. Elachad ha'arim asher amar alecha, by one of the mountains that I will say to you. So what we have over here is a very clear, or very unclear, direct instructions to go to a place, which I'm going to tell you, go to a general place, but this more specific place that you need to get to. So the instructions actually are not complete at this point. And when you get there, what he's supposed to do is Aleihu Sham La'olah. That's what it says, Aleihu Sham La'olah. It's also very clear which son we're talking about. The son, your only son, the son that you love, Yitzchak. Okay? You can't move away from this. Abraham's response, Vayishkem Avram Baboker. Somebody mentioned it before. This is the Avram we're used to. The Avraham Vayishkem Avram Baboker. He gets up early in the morning and he goes. I would, by the way, like to know how many times we find Vayishkem Avram Baboker prior to this. You don't have to answer me yet. Just think about that. Vayishkem Avram Baboker. Avram gets up in the morning. By the way, did God say, get up early in the morning? Or is this Avraham's response? Avraham, he wants to do this. He wants to do this effectively, efficiently, quickly. Avraham is the one who is full of exuberance. Avraham is going to march towards his mission. Vayishkem Avram Baboker. Vayechvosh Chamoro. You know what I want to do? I want to read what it does say, and I want to note what it doesn't say. You already all know what it doesn't say. Okay, let's now look and see what it does say. V'ikach et shnei na'arav, so he wasn't told specifically to take a donkey, he wasn't told specifically to take shnei na'arav, v'et yitzchak b'no, v'vakei atzei olah. Was he told to take atzei olah? So you can say it's implied, that's the most you can say, right? Because it doesn't say take atzei olah. Very good. And he goes to the place that God says. Is that the specific place or the general place? Because he hasn't told him yet, so that means he's going in the right direction. But Yom HaShlishi, why did it take till Yom HaShlishi? So this is Machloket. Why? It depends where he's coming from. Where did Avram set out, right? Remember, we spent a whole share on this 2 years ago. If you forgot, I'll give it again next week. Right? Was he coming from Beersheba, or was he coming from Hebron? If he's coming from Hebron, how long will the travel take? And if you ever go by Hebron, to Hebron by donkey, or from Hebron by donkey, how long should it take? So the Ramban, who lived in Israel when he wrote this, says it's a half a day travel. Chatzi yom b'chamor. Okay. I don't know what brand chamor he had, and how many horsepower, and so on. But that's a very reasonable statement. On the other hand, if you're coming from Beersheba, it's a much longer trip. Do we know where Avram was coming from? No, we have no idea. That's I said that. I said that we don't know unless we know which Devarim we're gonna have. No, exactly. What those Devarim are very important to understanding this. And I said I'm not going to talk about those Devarim today because we have enough problems with this. But it makes a very big difference in terms of our picturing God's commandment and Avraham's response. If, possibility number one, Avraham is traveling from Beersheba, how long does the travel take? It takes him 3 days. And then at the end of 3 days, on the third day he gets there, and then he immediately goes off to do what he's doing. That means the whole time he's going in the place. Or, what if he came from Hebron? And he came from Hebron, then we just go back again. He came from Hebron, how long did it take him to travel? Half a day. What happens about that half a day? He gets to the general area. What's happening then? He's looking for the specific place. He's riding around in circles, looking for the specific place. Of course, men don't ask for directions, so therefore, he's riding around in circles, looking for the specific place. And by the way, you could see how someone can get a great deal of frustration and how the average person after a day will say, listen, you know, I can't find the place, a second day, a third day, and then finally give up and say, listen, if God wanted me to see the place, he'd show me the place. He said he would show it to me, no one here, no one home, I'm going back, invitation must have been for next week, and so on and so forth. Forget about it. How long do you keep on looking for it? So it makes a very big difference, also in terms of the test. Is it that Avraham gets up early in the morning and goes straight to the place, and the whole time he's traveling to get there? Or does Avraham get there right away, and then goes wandering around looking for it? Okay, hold on to that thought, because we don't know the answer to that. I don't think there's any way that you can know the answer to that question.
Just in the paragraph before, he says he's in Beersheba, and then he's living in the Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim.
I know. And I'm still. You're not going to tempt me to go and to respond to this.
Okay.
Part of the problem is why Sarah dies in Hebron. That's part of the problem. Because if Sarah dies at the same time, then why is Sarah in Hebron? Right, according to Midrashim, if Sarah dies at the same time, why is Sarah in Hebron and Avram Beersheba? So were they separated? the Ramban says don't say that, because the Ramban says I don't want to imagine that there was marital strife between Avram and Sarah, so let's not go there. And then when you solve one problem, you just suggest another problem, and that's why we'll leave it. As I said, I don't know the answer to the question. Continue. He sees the place. Is it because God was more specific and told him something, or is it just that now he sees it on the third day? And I and the boy will go, bow down, and return to you. And we spoke about that last week. Is Avram lying? But by the way, that's all that Avraham did, was to do what he says he's going to do. Would that have been a terrible thing? Or, let me ask you a different question, is that what God told him to do? And I'll still insist that you don't know, because you don't know what Alei Hashem La'olam means, but Avraham over here says, this is what we're going to do, we're going to go, we're going to bow down and come back. V'ikach Avraham et etzei ha'ola, and again, that's bolded, because is that really part of the tzivui, part of the command? Vayasem al Yitzchak b'no, and he places it on Yitzchak. And incidentally, I've said this before, but just to bother you all again, in case I didn't bother one of you, and you haven't heard me say this, this is, without any question, one of the inspirations of the crucifix scene, and the idea of Yitzchak bearing his cross, carrying his wood, going up to his execution, is why the New Testament wrote it this way, and there are even ancient Midrashim that say he put a cross on his back. Okay? As I said, just to bother you all of you, I'm telling you this. And I'm not saying anything else about it. Don't blame me. He puts the wood on Yitzchak, v'yikach biyado et ha'esh. Was there any ever instruction to bring fire? Ve'et ha'ma'achelet, and he brings the knife. Was there any instruction about a knife? V'yichul shneim yachtov. What? But again, that's only if Alei Hashem La'olam means to slaughter him. Vayomi Yitzchak el Avraham Avi, Vayomi Neinu B'ni, Vayomi Hinei Ha'esh Vayitzim Vayaseh Olai. By the way, that whole question only comes out because he's bringing the fire and he's bringing the wood and so on, something which God did not necessarily say to him. The other thing, if we'll skip a little bit, the other thing that God did not say to him, absolutely didn't say to him, is what? There's one more thing that he does that God never told him to do for sure. You can't argue about this, which is the Akedah. He never told him to tie him. V'yakod et Yitzchak b'no. We call it Akedah Yitzchak. If I were to say right now, God never told Avram to do an Akedah, would you have to agree with me? That part you can't argue. This is the last time that we'll agree today. But on that particular point, it's clear God did not say, do an Akedah. God said what? One more time? Alei Hashem La'olam. Now, here's the problem. And we have a problem whichever direction we choose to go. Which one? Alei Hashem La'olam? I don't know. It means something about lifting up. Alei Hashem La'olam. Alehu means to lift him up. Ola as in Ola. I know that's what happens. Correct, and that's what the tzivui is. Very, very good, very good. Let's not get way ahead of ourselves. But let's... Yes? Hold it. Slowly. We're going to have a problem any way that we go. If we say that God never commanded him to slaughter his son, then why in the world is Avraham, bloodthirsty Avraham, pulling a knife on his son? On the other hand, if God did tell him to do it, then how does God change his mind? That may seem to you right now to be a small, slight theological issue, but that's an issue. God does not change his mind. God gives it tzivui, it's a tzivui. Which means the commentaries over here are going to have a problem either way. Let's start, for example, by reading a very short comment by Rashi, and then you'll tell me what this Rashi means. And source number two, in the second line of Rashi, maybe we'll come back yet to the first line. Vahalehu, what does it mean, Vahalehu Shem La'ola? What does Rashi say? You want to read the words with me? Lo Amar Shachatu. It didn't say slaughter him. Lefisha lo hayach hafeitz Hashem l'shachato. God had no intention, desire to slaughter him. Ela la lehu lahar lasoto ola umishalahu amalohu ridihu. One second. Till now you thought I was making all this up. Do you see the words of Rashi black and white? Rashi said God never said slaughter him. What did God say? Lift him up. And what happened after he lifted up? God said, okay, well done, take him down. So far, Rashi is of the opinion, forget about me, Rashi is of the opinion that there never was a tzivoy, there never was a commandment to slaughter your son. And if you go back and read the words, it never says, slaughter your son. What does it say? Haleo sham la'olah. Yes. Could have been. It could have been. It could have been. Maybe it was. Maybe it was. Okay? So let's wait a little bit. When we want to really understand this parsha, and we do, this is one of the parsha we do want to understand, because if God really did tell Avraham, this elderly Avraham, sainted Avraham, righteous Avraham, loving Avraham, if God tells him to do something, slaughter your son that you love, it's so grotesque, it's so horrific, and you know what? It goes against everything that we understand in the Torah. And yes, you can take the position and say that God tells him to do it in order to tell him not to do it, which means that the main message of the Akedah is never, never do I want human sacrifice, never do I want anybody put on an altar, never do I want anybody killed, and therefore he tells him to do it in order to tell him to take him down, that the taking down is really the main issue. So again, you could go in that direction, but nonetheless, this thing, Elokim Nisat Abraham, it becomes quite difficult. There are a couple of issues over here which we need to get through, which really lead me in the direction that God never intended for there to be a Korban of Yitzchak over here. And some of them are very subtle and some are more obvious. But before we get to those issues, let's look at other things. Again, what it does say over here. Because we all, again, our whole imagination is based on what it doesn't say in terms of God's commandment and what Avram's response is, which we still have to figure out why Avram responded in the way that he did. The first thing, which I note, is the use of the words lech lecha. God says to him, right back in source number one, the second line, kafta bincha yitzitcha she'ahavta yitzchak v'lech lecha. That means that there is something about this commandment, there's something about this tzivoy, which should be connected, either correlated or contrasted, with the first lech lecha that we have, when God tells Avraham to set off on your mission. There's something about this mission which will echo that previous mission. In fact, if we try to compare them, if you look at source number 6, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'latecha me'beit avicha el aretz asher areka. There's also here an element of going to the place that you don't know. You have a very clear commandment to do something, but you have something unclear about it, about how you go about doing it. The second thing which we note in the first source is Vayashkem Avram Avokim. Avram gets up quickly, early, to set out and do it. And I'm going to ask this question now. I don't want an answer to the question. When God said to Avram, Lech Lecha, how long did it take him to go out and do it? Did he do it right away? Or was that first lech lecha, was there a time lag? As I said, don't answer me yet. We'll begin to look into that still. When do we find Avraham Vayashkem? Because when it says over here, lech lecha, if we go back in source 6, what does it say? Vayelech, in source Dalet, Vayelech Avraham kasher diber lav Hashem, Vayelech yitolot, Avraham ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana mitzei tel micharan. That God told Avraham did as God said, and Avram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And how old was Avram when God spoke to him? So you're going to say 75 years, right? And of course, I'll then say to you, how do you know that? Where does it say, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker? Where does it say that Avram set out right away when God told him to do it? When do we find God saying, the description of Avram's response as Vayashkem? The first time we find it is a very strange verse, which we're just going to touch now, but obviously will deserve a lot more treatment at some other time in source number 3. In the middle of the description of the destruction of Sodom, right in the middle out of nowhere, it talks about how Sodom is going down, it's being destroyed. And then in the middle it says, Vayashkem Avram Bavoker El Makom Asher. Vayashkem Avram Bavoker El Makom Asher Amad Sham Et Pnei Hashem. Vayashkef Al Pnei Sodom Vamora Vakol Pnei Haaretz Hakikar Vayar Vinei Allah Kitor Haaretz Kikitor Hakidshan. What do we have? Avraham wakes up in the morning, early, looks out, and he sees Sodom going up in flames, going up in smoke. Which of course is a very interesting verse, because till now, the whole description, again, if you're making a movie of the structure of Sodom, till now, you've had one camera in Sodom and looking at Sodom from within. And now you have a second scene from outside, from Avram's perspective, looking again, in the middle of the narrative, it switches to Avram's perspective, Vayashkem Avram Bavoker. This is the first Vayashkem. This is the first time that Avram gets up early in the morning to see what? To see Sodom destroyed. Okay? Significance of this, you'll decide for yourselves. The second time we have Avraham getting up early in the morning, we have one time Avimelech getting up early in the morning. Avimelech, after he has a really bad dream, and then comes to Avram and says, Avram, what is going on over here? Your sister, wife, which one is it? The second time we have Avram getting up early in the morning is in source number 5, where it says, where they have a little machloket between Avraham and Sarah regarding the fate of Yishmael. And God says that Sarah is right. I'll tell you something interesting that maybe it's the only thing you'll be able to repeat from today. That Rav Soloveitchik once said, why does religion follow the mother? So he says that if you look in the Chumash, when the Avot and Imahot had a machloket regarding who is the future of the Jewish people, there's machloket, Avram and Sarah, who the future is. Avram thought Yishmael should be part of the consideration, and Sarah says, get rid of Yishmael, Yitzchak is the future. God says, look, Sarah is correct. When it comes to a machloket between Yitzchak and Rivka, who is going to be the continuation? Is it Esav or Yaakov? Again, Rivka was correct and Yitzchak was wrong. Therefore, Rav Soloveitchik said, religion follows the mother because the mothers, the Imahot, had a better idea of who is a Jew. Okay? Whether this is pshat or not, I don't know, but that's what happens over here. Sarah says, get rid of him. God says, do whatever Sarah tells you to do. And then what happens? Vayashkem Avram Baboka v'yikach lehem lechem v'chamat mayim v'yitena lagar. And so on and so forth. By the way, this in recent years has been described as Akedat Yishmael, and thank me for not giving a talk about that. Over here, there are parallels between this and the Akedah. Main one is Vayashkem, but now you realize you only have Vayashkem by Avraham 3 times. Once to see Sodom destroyed, once to get rid of Yishmael, and the third time to get rid of Yitzchak. Yes? Yeah, and it's also correct. It's also interesting the Kivshan there, but again, I'm not touching these verses per se. What we do know, though, is that the Vayashkem is not there in the Lech Lecha. When God says Lech Lecha, the Vayashkem isn't there. Now, let me ask you another question, which is a very simple question, and we'll see how good your memories are and how good your imaginations are. Till this point, by the Akedah, how many times does Avraham build a Mizbeah? And which animals does he bring on those Mizbechot? Which Korbanot does Avraham bring? And I know that you have this vague recollection of Avraham building Mizbechot going from place to place, but you don't remember how many, right? And more? You don't remember how many, and which animals does he bring on these Mizbechot that he builds? And one more thing. Over here, it does say, Vayivan Sham Avraham et ha-Mizbeah, by the Akedah, he says he builds a Mizbeah. Did God tell him to build a Mizbeah? That's one more thing that God never told him to do over here, and Avram goes and builds a Mizbeah. Okay, let's now go back to source number 6. Avraham is 75 years old, and he leaves Haran. He takes Sarai and Lot and so on. Pasuk Vav, Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad makom Shechem. He goes, wanders till he gets to Shechem. So has he now found the holy place he was looking for? What does it say? Adolam Marev, Aknani Azbaaretz, Ve'yera Hashem El Avram. Here's the confirmation. God appears to him. By the way, till this point in Avram's life, how many times has God appeared to him? Don't answer that question. The reason I'm saying don't answer, because you have no idea. Ve'yera Hashem El Avram, Ve'yomer Lezarecha Atena Ta'aretz Hazot, Ve'yiven Shem Mizbeach La'Hashem Hanire Elav. Now that God reveals himself to him, now Avram builds a Mizbeach. And what does he put on that Mizbeach? It doesn't say. Nothing. Next, Vayetek Mishem Ahara Mikedim Vayet El Vayet Ohala Vayet El Miyam Va'ay Mikedim Vayivin Shem Mizbeach La'Hashem. He builds another Mizbeach. And what does he do on that? What does he do there? Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. So far, Avram has built two Mizbechot. And what has he done? If you're noticing something, look at source number 7. Ve'elech masav minegev ad beit el ad makom asher hayasham o ala b'tchila ben beit el o ben ha'ay el makom ha'mizbeach asher asher sham b'rishana ve'ikra sham Avraham b'shem Hashem. Are you noticing something, what Avraham does by Mizbechot? He davens. Source number 8 at the end. Ve'al Avraham ve'yavo ve'yeshev b'leinu amrei asher b'chavron ve'yivin sham mizbeach la'Hashem. What do you never find Avraham doing? Bringing a korban. So please explain something to me. Why the first time he wants to bring a korban does he choose Yitzchak as his korban? And more than that, I want to ask, again, I want this to be very clear. When God tells Avraham to have some kind of religious experience with his son, whatever that means, from God's perspective, how do you know that God is telling him to bring a korban when Avraham has never brought a korban till this point? Did that point make any sense to you? He never brings a korban. Yes.
Also, he never has the order of telling him
where he is. Okay, good, yeah.
Why is it called a test?
What is the test? Question over here is, what is the test? Just because in your mind, in the way that you've been indoctrinated, the test is to kill, again, a grotesque test, to go and kill your son, does that mean that's really what the test is? Let's wait. I obviously will have to answer that before we finish today. Yes. Okay. Let's continue. And there's one more point, and this I don't know how much will bother you. It bothers me. This is an observation which is made in the Gemara. In source 17, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai. Rabbi Shimon ben Azai taught, Bo Ure Maktiv Bevrashata Korbanot. Notice what is written by the section of the Torah dealing with Korbanot. Shelo Ne'amar Bahem Lo El, Lo Elokim, Ela LaHashem. Ben Azai makes a fascinating observation in terms of biblical interpretation. It never uses the name Elohim in connection with the Korban. Go through the entire Chumash, it never uses the name Elohim with the Korban. The name of God, which is always associated with the Korban, is Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. In order, the aspect of God which is eternal, the aspect of God which is unchanging, not the judge, not Elohim. It's not a judge who's this hungry, bloodthirsty God who needs to be placated. The idea of a korban is litkarev, to become close to God, and therefore he goes, it never uses the word Elohim in connection with a korban, it only uses the name Yud Hey Bav Hey. This bothers me as well. What does it say in the beginning of our parsha? Elohim nisat Avram. And what does he say? Aleo Shem La'olam. This is another reason to indicate to me that there was no sivoy whatsoever to bring a korban. By the way, if you go on in the story of the Akedah, because you know at the end the korban is brought, at which point is the korban brought? When it says, Malach Hashem appeared min HaShemayim. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Malach Hashem appears min HaShemayim. Don't touch the boy. At that point he brings the korban. A korban is never associated with the Elohim. You go back and look even by the Tevat Noah. When it says bring animals two by two, which name of God is used there? Elohim tells take two by two. But when take the seven animals, there it says Hashem says. Why? Because what were those seven animals for? For korbanot. The name Elohim is never associated with korbanot. This is the point that Benazai makes. As I said, this bothers me as well in terms of even thinking that there is a korban over here, which means the problems that we have with assuming that it's a korban is that God never tells them to bring a korban. Yes, there is this challenging terminology, v'leiv sham la'olah. On the other hand, if God did tell them to bring a korban, then why would God change his mind, or how does God change his mind? On top of that, what kind of test is this? What kind of tzivoy is this? And yes, I agree with you that within our religious consciousness, when we think about the Akedah, we generally think about it in terms of the harshest possible test, and the test is God telling Avram, go take your son, who you love, and offer him. If you just want to, you know, quickly see a couple of other sources that talk about this idea of the Akedah as far as a korban or not as a korban. Source number 22. Rabbeinu Bachaye, in the middle of the line, Valeu Sham La'ola, Haya Ra'oi Shoyomar Valehu Sham Ola. If it meant that Yitzchak was to be a korban, then what should have it said? Valehu Sham Ola. Bring him as an Ola there. What does it mean, Li'ola? What does the Li'ola mean over here? Aval Alderach Abshat Halamit Hazot Be'ora Bimkom Klomar Shetale Oto Sham Bimakom Ola. Shetale Oto. To elevate him, that Yitzchak should be elevated. Rabbeinu Bachaye is saying this is what the tzivoy is. Again, he is certainly going along this direction that there never was a tzivoy, a command to do a korban. Rather, the elevation of Yitzchak is the topic. Ukamo halavana. One second. Sheim tefarish leola olam mamash eich yitzaveh kadosh baruch hu va'achakach yachzor mitzivav. How could it be that God commands and then backs up from a command? God doesn't change his mind. For Avraham, listen to this. Why is there an attempt at slaughter? For Avraham, mitoch tokef ahava, hivin olam mamash, v'kadosh baruch hu shabal l'nasot lo chivein ela b'mkom ola. In the place where an ola is brought. We still need to understand what this, as I just said, we still need to understand what this means. But he's very, very clear over here. Again, we already saw in Rashi, never said to do shechita. You see over here, he's stressing. God never said to do a shechita. That was not the tzivoy. Rather, what is v'leil sham la'ola? It is the elevation of Yitzchak is what is supposed to take place over here. And Avraham gets carried away. Avraham says, oh, bring him as an ola, no problem, and pulls a knife on him. And here the Malach says, listen, it's great. I see that you have a lot of fear of God. I see you didn't spare your son. But put him down. Why put him down? Because you passed the test. Put him down. Yes, of course he passed the test, but he did extra credit. This is not what he was asked to do. Again, you see this clearly over here in the Rabbeinu Bachaye. The Balei HaTosfot in 23 says the same thing. V'leil sham la'ola avalo amar v'shachto shelo nitkaven b'makom ela la'aliyah vilvad. All that he was ever supposed to do was an aliyah, aleihu sham la'ola. Which means from the very beginning I asked you what these words mean, aleihu sham la'ola, and you're all telling me it means a korban, it means to kill him, to tie him, to beat him, whatever else you want to do to him. It just doesn't say that. It never said that in the tzivoy. And we're all judging what the tzivoy was, what the command was, based upon what the response is. And over here, I think you've already now seen a whole bunch of commentaries saying, no, that's not what Hashem said to do. What really is the test? We still don't understand. Yes? Give me a couple minutes then. I don't think, when I read this, I went back and forth a couple times in my head. I don't think it means bimkom. It means bimakom, in the place of. The main issue. I'm not positive. As I said, when I read it, I wasn't sure. But I think the main issue over here is the place, and we'll still get it. Valehu sham la'ola. The main thing may over here be, the main word in the verse may be the one that we ignored, and that's the sham. The main issue is the sham la'ola, and not anything else. But Yes.
Abraham errs in understanding God's motive here, so does Yitzchak when he asks the question, and so does Sarah who hears.
Hold it. Yitzchak sees his father with wood and with the knife and the whole thing. So Yitzchak is not necessarily making a mistake. He's looking around saying, okay, we have all the paraphernalia over here, you're just missing one thing. So that's a different issue, yeah. As what? As a korban? Or? There are sacrifices before here. Noach, and the result of that korban is Reach Nechorach Lashem. Okay, there is an idea of a korban before here. But again, I find it fascinating, and I hope you do as well, that Avraham never brings a korban till this point. You want to call Avraham? You want to call him a vegetarian? God forbid. You want to call him a pacifist? You want to call him a pacifist? Avraham, till this point, does not kill animals. By the way, there is one time that he kills, and that's when God tells him to by the Brit Bein Avitarim. And that is a whole other discussion, which we'll see. We may get to touch a little bit. Most likely. So do you? I was afraid to say that. Is Avraham over here impacted by his old neighbors? Is Avraham doing that, the done thing? God said, in his mind, this is what it means to do to sacrifice your son. I'm hesitant to say that, but I think that there's some, again, I think there's a whole other element that we still need to understand. Okay, you know what, let me say a couple things. As far as the commentaries are concerned, the first step towards the Akedah, the first korban that Avraham brings, the first bloodletting that he does, is the Brit Milah. And they see the Brit Milah as an introduction to the Akedah. And they see the Brit Milah, both performed on himself and performed on Yitzchak, as being a type of a korban, a type of a sacrifice. And they see that the connection between the Brit Milah to the Akedah to be the direction, that's the first time we see Avraham pulling a knife on someone. Okay, so let's keep that in mind as well, because the idea of the sacrifice perhaps can be understood over there.
How does it say the rest of the Torah when they want to do an Olah?
An Olah will always mean a Korban.
Is it always a bad way to do an Olah?
But I don't know, I don't think there's any other time it says Valeo Shamla Olah. It's a Korban Olah over here. To Korban Allah. Over here, Aleo Shem Allah, the Korban is missing, and that's the problem. So Avram understands the Korban, but the Korban isn't there. Okay, let's go back to the question I asked you before that maybe you thought was irrelevant. By the Akedah, Yashkem Avram Bavoker, Avram goes directly to do it. When we judge the comparisons between Akedah and Lech Lecha, we see Lech Lecha in both. We see God telling them to go in a general direction with a specific point to be revealed still. By the Akedah, Vayishkem Avram B'boker, and I want to go back and ask that question again, when it comes to Lech Lecha, when does Avram set out? The problem with this is the Chumash doesn't tell us. The hints that we have from the Chumash are either contradictory or at least complex. First thing that we need to know is, when it talks about the Tzivoy of Lech Lecha, the commandment of Lech Lecha, God says, Lech lecha mi'aretzecha mi'ladecha mi'beit avicha. Leave your land, your homeland, your birthplace, your father's home. What's the problem with this? Well, the first problem is, we have no idea where Avram was really born. That's the first problem. The second problem is that we already find Terah has set out, has gone on this mission. Let's find the Psukim with Terah. Look at source 41. The Eile told its Terach. Terach will lead it to Avram, et Nachor, et Haran. The Haran will lead it to Lot. V'yamat Haran apnei Terach Aviv, v'eretz moladeto, v'or kasdin. Hold it. Where is he born? What does it say in this pasuk? Be'or kasdin. He dies in the land where he's born, be'or kasdin. Part of the problem is knowing what Or Kasdim means, but it sounds Eretz Moladeto be'Or Kasdim. It sounds that Or Kasdim is the city, and Eretz Moladeto is the land. V'ikach terech et Avram b'no v'Lot ben Aram ben b'no v'Tzarai kalato eshet Avram b'no v'Yetzu itam be'Or Kasdim lechet Arat Sakanan. Terach then heads out from Or Kasdim, which sounds like the birthplace, and where is Terach taking them to? Eretz Kanan. V'yavo ad Haran, they only get as far as Haran, v'yeshu sham, and they settle there. And Terach dies in Haran. Now, this is a very difficult thing. Here we see, black and white, as clear as day, which sounds like that Avram is born in Or Kasdim. Terach takes them from Or Kasdim to Haran. Terach is on the way to Eretz Kanan, which is a piece of information that we don't even begin to know what to do with. Why in the world is our idolatrous friend Terach on his way to Eretz Canaan? And he's taking Avram to Eretz Canaan, and then we find God saying to Avram, Lech Lecha, go from your birthplace, your home, your birthplace, from your father's home, and go on to the place I'm going to show you. Terach is already taking him. So if I assume that the Torah is written in the proper sequence, I have no idea what to do with this. Unless I take an approach which one can find in the Ramban, that what should have been said? It should have said, leave your father's house, leave your hometown, leave your country, and come here. What does it say? It says the other way around. Leave your country, your birthplace, your father's house. So why is the order the other way around? Because he's already left his country. He's already left his birthplace, but he's still in his father's house. But his father's house is no longer in his country and his birthplace. So therefore, you've left these things, now leave that last part, leave your father's home, and now come on and continue on the way. Okay, that's very nice. What it doesn't explain to us is why is Terach on the way to Israel? There are commentaries who will try to tell us that Avraham is the one who convinces Terach to go. It's Avraham's idea, although the Chumash doesn't say that. So that's a little bit of a problem. We also have another problem. Later on in the Chumash, by the Brit Ben Haptarim, Source 24. Vayomer Elav, and God says to him, Ani Hashem, I am God. Asher hotzeiticha me'or kasdin l'tefachat the aretz hazot l'rishta. I am God who took you out of Or Kasdim. Now, who took him out of Or Kasdim? Wasn't it Terach? So, what's going on over here? So we have. It's almost whichever way you go, you're going to have a problem. We don't know where Terach is going. We don't know when God spoke to Avraham. There is even the Netziv says that it was really Avraham's idea to go, but Avraham was too up in the clouds, so he couldn't drive. So Terach drove. So that's why it says that. You want to see that? In source 45. Emek Devaretz, the Ikaratzon Otayitzia Haya Avram Uveitzato. Avram tells Terach we have to go. Mikol Makom Kevin Shia Avram Shakur Barayonot Elukut, that he was busy with his spiritual ideas, O Chachmot, the Loyachol Lahanhig Nisiha. He wasn't able to drive. Hu Ubeito. Okay, Nimsa Nisiha La Aviv. He says, Terach, you take the wheel. You drive. That's what the Nitziv says. And then still, this doesn't fit into the verses very well. Because it says, V'yikach Terach. Terach goes and Terach takes them. So again, you all see our problem. The Ibn Ezra says something which is certainly interesting. He says that the Tzivoy of Lech Lecha the tzivoy of Lech Lecha, the commandment to go, in source 37, Vahashem tziva la'Avraham, and God commanded Avraham to go, Lech Lecha, when? Va'odno ba'or kazdim. When he's still in Or Kasdim, God commands him to go. Shiazov artso, umakom ulavito, gam beit aviv. Ibn Ezra says that God commanded Avraham Lech Lecha when he's still in Or Kasdim. Hold it a second. If that's the case, how much time transpires between the time that God tells Avram to go till the time that he ends up leaving Haran to set out to Eretz Canaan? An incredibly long amount of time. Again, the exact dates, we don't know, but an incredibly long amount of time. What don't you see over here? Certainly, according to Ibn Ezra, what's lacking? Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avram gets up. No. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, you don't see over here. Avraham is before. He's back in Or Kasdim. That means, how does he leave Or Kasdim? Terach takes him out. But what did God say? God said, I told you, but hold it. I'm still stuck then. Because the verse says that God says, I took you out. So who took him out? God took him out, or Terach took him out. So we're still somewhat stuck. But still, if we want to have the comparison between this Lech Lecha and the next Lech Lecha, we realize that while by the Akedah, it's immediate and off in the morning, they're off on the way. Over here, we definitely have a time lag. And I sense that within this issue, we will not only be able to uncover what was going on in Avraham's mind and what was going on in terms of Lech Lecha, but we will also eventually understand what is really going on with Yakeda. So give me a couple of minutes and all this will become clear. Okay? Because Terach takes him, we're told, Terach takes him from Or Kasdim to Haran. And he's 75 years old when he leaves Haran. The question is, why does God speak to Avram when he's still in Or Kasdim and he not listen to him? Why does Terach have to take him out? So I'm saying there's something going on over here that is not necessarily clear to us. One more piece of information. How old was Avram the first time that God speaks to him? Okay, according to Rashi and Chumash, so this is easy, I'm limiting it to Rashi. According to Rashi and Chumash, where is the first time we find that God speaks to Avram? Not Lech Lecha. He's 75 there, okay, at least it sounds like. Where's the first time you find it? So, when the Jews leave Egypt, what does it say? It says at 430 years, at a duration of 430 years, the Jews leave Egypt. Now, all of you know that there's a problem in terms of what those 430 years are. How long were the Jews enslaved? So you have 190 years. So what do we say? What's the 400 years? Because God says, for 400 years, we'll be enslaved. That's by the Brit Ben Aftarim. So if he says 400 years, it's 400 years from what? From the day that Yitzchak was born. Why is that? He says, your descendants will be enslaved for 400 years. That means, when does Avram begin to worry about this? For the second he has a son. Till he has a child, it's not real. Once he has a son, now you can start worrying about you, right? Once you have a kid, now you start worrying about the kid. 400, your descendants will be enslaved from the second he has a son. It's those 400 years of anxiety. Why 430? Why 430? So Rashi quotes Chazal that says that 430 was from when God said it to him. That God said it to him 30 years before. How old was Avraham when Yitzchak was born? 100. What's 100 minus 30? 70. When did the Brit Habiterim take place according to Rashi? When he's 70 years old. When does he leave Haran? When he's 75. The Brit Habiterim happens before Lech Lecha. Was all that easy? The Brit Ben Habiterim, the covenant that God makes with Avram, which by the way is interesting, at that point God tells him to take the animals and to kill them and to break them in half and so on. That all happens, according to Rashi, prior to Lech Lecha, before Avram comes to the land of Israel, when he builds these Mizbechot, he's no longer killing animals. Avram only kills animals then by the Brit Ben Habiterim. At this point, Avram is not killing animals, he's only building altars. According to our understanding, in order to reconcile this issue of 430 years, to get that extra 30 years, that takes place when Avram is 70, again, 5 years prior to the Brit Ben Habiterim, which means we now realize this whole issue is far more complicated. There is a long Ramban that deals with the question of where Avram was really born. There's an argument about this. Was he really born in Haran and then he went to visit Ur Kasdim? Was he really born in Ur Kasdim and then he went to Haran? Did he go back and forth and what's going on? I want to go back and try to cut through a lot of the information. But in order to do this, I want to show you the source that they're using. The source isn't 39. 39. This is called Seder Olam Rabba. Seder Olam Rabba is a rabbinic source that collects the chronology of events. Min hamabul ad haflaga shlosh ma'od ve'esrim ve'arba'im shana. Nimtza Noach haya achar haflaga eser shanim. Avinu Avram haya b'haflaga ben memtet shana. Noach lives after the flood. After the flood, till the division, till the Tower of Babel is 340 years. Noah dies 350 years afterwards altogether, so 10 years after the division. And Avram, at the point of the Haflagah, was 48 years old. That's the first point that you need to keep into consideration. It then goes, okay, let's skip a little bit. Let's go down around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. Avram Avinu haya b'shash nidaber imo ben habitarim ben shivim shana shenema v'hi miketz shloshim shana v'avram ut shana v'chule. So over here, this is the source of Rashi, that Avraham was 70 years old by the Brit Ben Abtarim, because it says, at a duration of 430 years from the Brit Ben Abtarim is when the Jews left Egypt. Okay, so here you see the source over here in black and white. Now, let's try to put some more of this information together. You know, there is this great, rabbinic legend of Avraham having been thrown in the furnace and being saved from the furnace and going on. Where does it say this in the Chumash? What's the answer? It doesn't say in the Chumash. Unless, of course, it does. Ur Kasdim. What is it? What is an Ur? An Ur is fire. And when God says, I am the God who saved you from Ur Kasdim, there are commentaries who read that verse as pshat. Right? That's what it means. God is saying, I am the one who saved you from the fire by Kasdim. I'm the one who saved you. I'm the one who took you out of the furnace. Let's go back a step. At what age was Abraham when he recognized God? And over here we find among the commentaries difference of opinion, and there may very well have development within Abraham's own understanding. At 3 he may have rejected certain things. At the age of 48, they generally say, at the age of 48, Abraham recognized that there was one God. That's very interesting. What happens at the age of 48? At the age of 48, what happens? That's when they're building the tower. What happens when they're building... Who's the one who threw him into the furnace? It was Nimrod. How do we know it's Nimrod? Nimrod is the one who's leading the building of the tower. By the way, why is there a furnace over there? Because they're making bricks. So, right? Yeah. So Avraham, when Nimrod is leading this mission to build this tower, there's a great sense of unity. Avraham starts speaking about one God. Nimrod does not love this. And Nimrod takes Avraham and throws him into the furnace. What does God do? He saves Avraham from the furnace. And that's what the pasuk means, which is, I am the God who saved you, took you out of Ur Kasdim. I'm the one who took you out. Now, what happens afterwards? What is the end of the story of the building of the tower? How does the story end? What? Right, they get dispersed. How do they get dispersed? How do they get dispersed? What happens? God disperses them. God gives these people different languages, but it's more than that. God gives the different people this mission, desire, this feeling that they have to leave. Now stop a second. If Terach takes Avraham out of Ur Kasdim and heads towards Haran and is going towards Eretz Canaan, why is Terach doing this? Can I give you a very simple answer? What? This is after Migdal Bavel, and Terach has this feeling that he has to leave. I'll go even further. Maybe God told him to leave. Maybe God told Terach, go to Eretz Canaan. And now, before you say anything about this, let's go back a second to a problem which the commentaries note about the Brit Bein HaBetarim, about how God speaks to him by the Brit Bein HaBetarim. First, look at source 28. Me'ur Kasdim, from the place called Ur Kasdim. The Akava Kabbalah writes, Hayoter Nachon Mashakatav HaRosh She'ein HaMakom Nikra Ur Kasdim Ela Pirish Eish Kasdim. Ur means fire. They threw him into the furnace, threw him into the fire, and God says, I saved you. That's the pasuk over here. I saved you from Ur Kasdim. Here you see in black and white. I saved you from the furnace by Ur Kasdim. Look in source 29. Vayoma Elav, Rashi v'parshat bo, Emek Devar writes, then it's it writes, Rashi in parshat bo tells us, ki debrit bein ha'patarim ne'amar shloshim shana kodim shana lad yitzchak. That the Brit Bein HaBetarim, the covenant there, took place 30 years when he was born when Avram was 70. Go down a little bit more. V'nirli shagam v'seder olam, eina kavanasha haya hadibur kemashma'o. It wasn't that God spoke to him at that point. Ela biyoto ben shivim shana, that when Avram was 70 years old, hayalo he'ara. What is he'ara? He had an awakening, enlightenment. V'kol dodo yitbarach dofek alivo, let's say mi'ur kasdin misham l'eretz Yisrael. At the age of 70, God caused Avram to have the feeling that he should leave from this place and go to Eretz Canaan. This is fascinating, because he's saying that even when God says, go, it's not that God said to him in prophecy, time to get up and go, he gave him a feeling that this is what you should do. In case you...
Based on what? Based
on what does he say this, or based on what? First, let's see who else says it, and then we'll try to decide on based on what. That was the Nitziv. You look at source 11. When it says that Avram builds a Mizbeach to God who appeared to him, right? That's what happens when he gets to the land of Israel. He builds a Mizbeach, source 11. This Ramban is on the verse that God, that Avram builds a Mizbeach to God who reveals to him, he writes, Ki hoda l'Hashem ha'nechbad v'zavach lo zevach todah, which is interesting. The Ramban assumes if he built a Mizbeach, he must have brought an offering, even though the Chumash doesn't say it. Al shenirai lav ki ad heina lo nirai lav Hashem. Because till this point, God never appeared to him. And God never appeared to him in terms of a real prophecy. Rather, lech lecha, he had a dream. Any of you guys ever had a dream? He had a dream. Or Ruach HaKodesh, he had this feeling inside. That's what the Ramban means. The Ramban is saying clearly what we just now saw in the Nitziv. That lech lecha was not a clear prophecy, Avram, get up and go. Rather, it was this feeling or this dream, the sense that he had. And by the way, once I've reduced lech lecha into this general feeling or dreamlike experience, I'm going to ask you now again, could Terach have had a similar type of dream or feeling or kind of a sense that this is where I should go? Matter of fact, I had a totally crazy thought, but let me hold on for one moment and just read the Kli Yakar. He's asking why they're saying this. He's saying it for a very simple reason. In source 13, Mashlo nirei lav Hashem miyad kishem arlech lecha me'artzecha lefi she'az hayadayin b'chutz la'aretz kedater of Ibn Ezra u'b'chutz la'aretz ein shechinato yitbarach nigaleh. He's in chutz la'aretz. There will not be real prophecy here. It's not a real prophecy. All that he will have is this general feeling that it's time to go. And now I'll ask you, was Avram the only person to have this prophecy? You don't know, so don't answer. You don't know. But what do we know? We know that a lot of people had a feeling it's time to leave Babel, and they started going in all kinds of different places. Is it possible, now you can't say no to this, I'm asking you, is it possible? Is it possible that a God said to every single one of them, pick up and go from there and go to the land they're going to show you? Is it possible that every single person in the world got this tzivui, got this command, had this dream, but everybody else ignored it? But by the way, you know what this reminds us of? It reminds us of the Midrash before Matan Torah. That God comes to every different nation, you want the Torah, and every single nation doesn't want to take it. The only person who's willing to take it is Avram, although it's interesting, there's somebody else who's willing to take it as well, but he doesn't complete it. Who's that? Terach. Which means if we now understand Terach's march from Ur Kasdim, the place where from the Tower of Babel, from this place to march towards Eretz Canaan, why would he do such a thing? So I've answered why he would do such a thing. He would do it because of Lech Lecha. He would do it because it's time to leave. Abraham also gets this thing of Lech Lecha, and they're going together. When God says, I took you out of Ur Kasdim, now what do we understand this mean? He took him out of the furnace. It's time to march to go to Israel. It takes Abraham a long time to get there. As a matter of fact, the Ramban goes in and says that maybe he's wandering from place to place, looking for the right place. Feeling of this, is this the place that God said? They're marching, Terach never makes it. Which means, the failing of Lech Lecha may very well be that even though Terach is on the way, he never completes it. And you know what's lacking there? That even though they go together, they never arrive. They never arrive, and there is never this real sense or this ultimate sense of what we do find by the Akedah, the Yechu Shtehim Yachdav, the two of them go together. Let me say something which I'm not 100% sure of, but I'm 99% sure of. When Yitzchak and Avraham are marching towards the Akedah, and Yitzchak says to him, Father, here's this and this and this, where is the Seh? And he goes, God will provide for us, and so on. Do you realize what's special about that conversation? First of all, it's the only time in Chumash that Avram and Yitzchak speak to one another. That itself makes it interesting. You know why else it's interesting? As far as I can tell, as I said, I'm not sure about this. As far as I can tell, it's the first time we find a parent speaking to a child. You find Noah cursing his children. But it's not just that it's intimate. It's more than that. It's more than intimate. It's the first time we find. It's not just the pasuk before is Vayechlu Shneim Yachdav. The pasuk after is Vayechlu Shneim Yachdav. And here we have an intergenerational conversation. But we have really if there is a binding, if there is an akedah, the binding is between Avraham and Yitzchak. The binding is that the two of them are going together. And when Avraham gets the tzibur, the command, Va'aleihu sham la'olah. What exactly is the commandment? It sounds to me that the commandment is, let this not be like you and your father, where you did not complete a mission together, where Terach starts and he stops, he's unable to continue, that with Yitzchak, with your son, with this son, only with this son that you love, that he needs to be elevated. Where does he need to be elevated? He needs to be elevated in this particular place. And what is this particular place? And now let's understand the whole thing of Lech Lecha from the beginning. The first Lech Lecha is Avraham getting this tzivoy to go to this place that will become clear to you. Avraham goes from place to place. He doesn't build the Mizbeach till he gets to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because all the other places are not ra'oi l'mizbeach. All the other places are not appropriate for Mizbeach. He has this great spiritual sense, but he can't build the Mizbeach in these other places because it's not appropriate to build the Mizbeach. He finally gets to Israel, and by Shem, he feels here is the right place for Mizbeach. But what is it not a right place for yet? To bring the Korban. Why? It's holy, but it's not holy enough. He gets to the next place, still, it's holy. He builds another Mizbeach. He gets to the next place, he builds another Mizbeach. And all these places, God is revealing himself to him. He has a revelation. It's a Makom Shekhinah, but it's not strong enough. And finally, God says, you can go to this place for Leil Shem La'olah. And what does Avraham sense? Avraham sense what this place, Shem, the main point is Shem. What is the Shem? What is this place that he gets to? Well, we all know the answer. What is it? He gets to the Makom Mikdash. And now Avraham feels, this is the place to bring a Korban. This is where the Korban needs to be brought. And that's the confusion that Avraham has. Because now he's overwhelmed by this sense of Shekhinah. He's overwhelmed by the place of the Beit HaMikdash. And now he feels this is the place that the Korban has to be brought. And you know what? Yitzchak feels the same thing. How do we know that Yitzchak feels the same thing? Because he turns and says to his father, this is the place. That means Avraham and Yitzchak complete this mission together. V'yechul shteihem yachdav. And the tzivoy was, v'aleihu sham la'olah, to elevate Yitzchak and to bring him in the same covenant, to bring them in the same direction. And Avram, out of an outpouring of love towards God, feels, finally, I can bring the korban. God says, no, that's not right. That's not the right korban. That's not the korban he's supposed to bring. And then he turns around and he sees the proper korban, and then he brings the proper korban. But at this point already, Yitzchak is elevated. The Beit HaMikdash has been revealed. The Makom Mikdash has been revealed. Let me just read a comment of the Meshech Chachma. Source number 12, El Eretz Asher Areka. This is back on our first Lech Lecha. Yitachein Lefaresh, one can explain, Ki Tzivohu Leilech LeEretz Makom HaMiyuad LaAvodah UleKorbanot. That he's telling him to go to the place to bring Korbanot. Sheshami Krivo Adam HaRishon V'Noach Korbanotayim V'Shami Farsem Elokut V'Yakadeshim O B'Shchut Panah. That he's going and he's looking for the right place. He's looking for the Makom Mikdash. He's looking for the place which is the appropriate place to serve God. At the end of the last source, source 46, V'kulo nitkaimu v'akidat Yitzchak, ki Avram akdo v'kashro v'gam sam oto la'ola b'har ha-moriyah, v'evshar sham mizbeach asher bana Avraham avinu b'har ha-moriyah, haya v'makom mizbeach ha-pnimi shemaktirin ha-ktoret. That he did it in the inner place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where is the place that the Ketoret, Yom Kippur, where the Ketoret is born. Not a place of the Korban, that's of the Ketoret. Ki Ketoret chaviv mikol ha-korbanot sholam. Lo ya korban chaviv ba'olam ki yitzak olah tmima. V'chein mash makzat ba-midrash, she'amar v'ikray lav malach Hashem min ha-shemayim, mi-bein shtei ha-kruvim, yotzei ha-kol. That when it says that the malach called Abraham, it's just like what we find later on, that between the two kruvim is where it comes out. That's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Although it's very interesting that Rashi, the one that I skipped in the beginning in source 2, when he writes Bahar HaMoriah, he wants to know what HaMoriah means. And he says, Rabotenu Pirshu, Hashem, Shemisham Hara'ah Yotzet Yisrael. That's where the Sanhedrin sat. That's Har HaMoriah, where instructions come out to the people. But Onkelos Tirgamo, and Onkelos explained, Al Shem Avodat HaKtoret, Sheyesh Bo Mor. Nered Bishar Visamim, that Har HaMoriah is from the Mor, from the Ketoret. Because this is the place that the Kodesh HaKadoshim stands, this is where the Ketoret is brought. That what Avraham is doing, what God is telling him to do, is come and reveal the Makom Achi Kadosh Ba'olam. Come and reveal the holiest place in the world. And when Avraham finally gets there, he knows that this is the place to bring the Korban. And out of love for God, he brings the Korban. But that was not the commandment. That was not the commandment. And therefore, the commandment from Shem Elokim, Ashk Elokim Nisat Abraham, what is the Nisayon? Will you succeed in taking Yitzchak together with you on your mission? Or will you not succeed? Because the first Lech Lecha, there was a failure over there, because Terach also is on his way to Eretz Canaan and never succeeds in making it there. And Terach ends up stopping, and Avram has to continue by himself. And Avram has to leave Terach behind. The two of them don't go together. There's no v'yechul shteim yachter. That becomes the end of Terach. He ends. We leave him behind. But Avraham and Yitzchak will continue forever. And the Akedat Yitzchak will be our zchut forever. Because Akedat Yitzchak shows the two of them were completely involved in this. Absolutely unified. Avraham wanted to bring the Korban, Yitzchak prepared to be the Korban, and the Midrash even goes so far as to say, where did the Akedah come from? Whoever said to tie him down? And the Midrash says it was Yitzchak's idea. Yitzchak says to Avraham, please tie me down that I don't move, because if I have to be the Korban, I don't want to be Pasul. I don't want to move at the last minute. I don't want to make the Korban Pasul, because if I'm supposed to be the Korban, I'm ready to be the Korban. The Yechul Shtehem Yachta, the two of them went together. If what I'm saying is correct, And again, I hope now that you see the much broader picture. If what I'm saying is correct, there never was a commandment to do a shechita on Yitzchak. And again, if you think this is my saying it, go back. Rashi said this, Rabbeinu Bachaye said this, the Balei HaTosfot said it. They all said there never was a commandment to offer Yitzchak as a korban. Rather, what did the word say? Baaleihu Shem La'olah. That should be the place that Yitzchak gets elevated.
What is the test?
The test is, well, will they go together or not?
Why did they both look for an animal together?
That's afterwards, because they have the sense. This is the place. They know that
according... Right, when they got the sense, why didn't they say, oh, let's go find an animal?
Abraham really believes it's supposed to be Yitzchak. That's how he understands it. That's how he understands it.
But if he never gave
Korban
before, why would they take him?
So now we understand he never brought a Korban before because he never found the right place to bring a Korban.
He had confidence that he would find it now,
right.
And that's why...
That this is the right place. Now he feels the Shekhinah. Now he's overwhelmed by the Shekhinah.
Do you think while he's on his way, he's going to...
Yeah.
Are you saying now that they went and they left together all the time?
I'm not touching that. I know.
That's not what you mean went together. They went up together.
They went up together.
They may never have left together.